They're just two parents who happen to be dads. One called Harley, the other one is Wads. It's not really Wads, it's Wade! But Wade doesn't rhyme with dads. It's shitting with the door open. That's good. That's good. That's good. That's good.
We are good. Everything's good.
Everything is good. We all live in a fragile ecosystem.
Sorry for the lateness of this podcast, which is shitting with
I'm
the
not
door
sorry.
Ray I'm not sorry Duffin at all. Is not sorry. I, Harley Breen. Well, you know, it's because I'm in Sydney at the moment. I don't know if you've heard of Sydney. It's Australia's biggest city and a premier international city, and the internet was a bit bad. So I've had to do it.
It's a beautiful city.
It is a beautiful city. Look, I'm right, like literally in the heart of it. You can see if I just turn the camera around, like out that door, it is just a concrete jungle. I'm living like right in it. I'm currently working for Triple M nationally. And yesterday I just was like, I've got to walk away from the concrete. Like I really have to. This is like it feels like there's a heavy weight on you in this city.
When you're right in the CBD, you're like right amongst all the buildings.
Yes.
But what's great about Sydney is it's got like a vista like all the time. There's heaps of hills, so you're constantly going up, and it's beautiful around there. Like I love Sydney. I think it's great. Like I prefer to live in Melbourne, but I love visiting Sydney. I want to address
what?
A couple of things.
Okay.
From the last couple of weeks. The first thing is like we mentioned that I had come round to Nellie Thomas's idea for vegetables.
We mentioned it. You admitted to it and said
it was a joint.
It's a good idea. I didn't say it. Oh, I still think the idea is fucking stupid. No, I still think the idea can get fucked.
But the crowing from Nellie on social media and like people like saying, Nellie, you're right, you're right, you're right. I will say this, all right? She was wrong at the time for my children and that idea is now right. You wouldn't give a driver's license to a fucking six-year-old.
No.
All right? That was her idea. She's like, what I'm going to do is I'm going to get the kids to go into the fridge with sharp knives and just start chopping off their fingers. That was Nellie's original idea.
No,
all right?
No,
that was what she had
wasn't.
Planned to start
she
off
said
with. Yes, it
I
was.
Had to go to the fridge.
She was like, get them on the pan, turn them on the gas stove. They'll be fine. They'll be all right. Let them cook a lasagna by themselves. I'm like, no, Nellie, that's irresponsible. That's not how we're going to do it. And now that they're a little bit older and they can use the knife and they can use the stove with supervision, then I'm more comfortable letting them get their own dinner and progress that way. So Nellie's idea was bad at the time for my children. And now it
Your
is a
idea.
Good idea. Now my idea of responsible, like, you know, like just waiting till they're a bit older and being a bit more responsible. Now it's settled in. So I just wanted to talk about that. Very quickly.
Well, this is where I want to still draw umbrage with the idea. From my memory, the idea was if they didn't like the meal, then they could go to the fridge and they could pick a dairy item. They could pick two or three vegetables and pick a protein, I think, and then they would have it. And for me, it still can get fucked. If I've cooked dinner, that's what's for dinner. I'm not making anything more. I'm not helping facilitate, even though my kids are allowed to use knives. You know, my kids, one of my kids makes his own knives. But if this is what's on for dinner, then that's what's on for dinner. And if you don't like it, there's your bedroom and you can go in it.
Well, I will say that if I've made dinner that I know that they'll eat and they don't want to eat it, I'm like, well, that's just, you're just going to have to eat it. I don't care. But if I've made like a spicy curry and I'm like, I'm just not making two meals and they're like, I don't want to eat this spicy curry. Then,
fair enough.
Then they can go to something else.
Yeah, fair enough.
Not that I would make it spicy. I just make it very plain and then I put the spice on afterwards. If we've talked about many times.
Yeah, absolutely.
Many times.
Well, I'm glad that you so clearly addressed that issue of you admitting that Nellie was right.
I think you'll find I was right then and I'm right now. That's what's happened. And And then what was the other thing? Oh, that's right. I bumped into my friend the other day.
Well, I really love this next point. And I don't feel like I have done what I'm being accused of. But anyway.
Yeah, well, and you had said that you don't care for the name Edgar very much. And I bumped into my friend whose kid is named Edgar, which I think is a great name. It's a solid name, strong name. And she was a Patreon. And she's like, you can tell Harley that we're not Patreons anymore because he was fucking ragging on Edgar. And I found it so funny.
Now, write of reply from me? Just for context, I did probably suggest that Edgar is a shit name. And I, that was just about my own upbringing and my grandfather, who I liked, by the way. And it was just a little aside. And it was more a dig at my mother, who wanted me to name my child Edgar. And the fact that she had three sons and didn't name one of us Edgar after her own father. But now I'm getting pressured by her to name my son Edgar. It's like, well, it wasn't good enough for you, Mavis. So then I'm not doing it. Now, I then found out after that episode, there seems to be quite a lot of people with children who've called Edgar. And this is the honest truth. This is not me backtracking, and this is not me trying to get you to come back online to Patreon. Everyone just do whatever they want. Edgar is a solid name. It's a strong and it's a solid name. If anything, I am the collateral damage of growing up and people being a bit cruel about my grandfather's name. So if anything, I'm the victim in this.
Anyway, it's good to clear that up.
Yeah.
Right at the start.
And you know what I like about your friend Cressida is that she named her child after my grandfather. I mean, what a tribute from a true fan.
She's like, I love this. That's a real deep cut from a fan as well. Like, that's a real... She's dug through that record bin for that rare album, for that real kind of deep cut. That's very funny. Oh, man. What have you been cooking lately? Because I want to tell you what I've been cooking.
Well, I reckon we're going to have to get into you. We've had a real busy time. We had some friends up with us over the weekend just before I came down to Sydney. And so there was a large amount of platters. In fact, I think we probably fed the children platters for breakfast, lunch and dinner for a few days running. It was like, the kids are hungry. Let's get heaps of food out. And so there was lots of platters. And now I'm in Sydney and I'm staying in a hotel room that doesn't have a kitchen, which is my least favourite way to travel. I hate it. I would rather be put up in a service department because then I could go to a grocery shop and cook for myself. But I don't have some current things that I'm working on. So talk me through what the great Wade Duffin's been cooking.
I made this killer Nepalese potato salad the other day.
Oh.
To take out to a Christmas party that I went to.
Talk me through
it. But of course, I made way too much.
Of course you did, because you're Wade Duffin.
Yeah. I was like, we're going to a party for 30 people. Well,
nightmare.
I'm sure everybody's going to want one full plate of potato salad because even though there's going to be 30 or 40 other dishes there, I just made sure that if everybody wanted to have one giant fucking helping of potato salad was there. Anyway, caramelized some onions and garlic and ghee. I use a fuckload of ghee. Then
can't use ghee in my house, just so you know, for those out there. If you have some suggestions for what would be a good dairy-free replacement for ghee, because there's lots of great recipes that include ghee, and I don't really know what to do without it.
You just use olive oil, surely.
But it's such a not even comparable whatsoever. You know
what about half olive oil, half Nutrilex or something?
Oh, maybe. Yeah. Sorry to stop you there, but I was just, there's so many different ways and things that people are allergic to. Some of these things can be difficult for some people.
Yeah, for sure.
Great product, though.
And then added some coriander and some mustard seeds.
Great.
Ground up some mustard seeds, some black mustard seeds and some Nigella seeds. Added that, put that in there. And then the onion was lightly caramelized.
Yep.
And I'd probably put the onion in to the ghee when it was too not hot enough.
Okay.
So it just kind of almost poached until I fucking turned it right up the heat, and then it started to kind of crisp up and stuff. Then I put in what else was in there? The potatoes, obviously.
Well, let's talk through the potatoes. What kind of potato did you use?
I just used baby potatoes.
Okay.
Which I think are perfect for a potato salad.
Yeah.
Like, they're just perfect. And then there was, like, some tamarind paste, which was that I had to add to it. But I didn't have enough tamarind.
Yeah.
So I went half tamarind, half like this laksa, this high quality laksa curry paste that I had in my fridge. It's
a fancy potato salad.
Fuck, mate. This thing was killer. Put some curry leaves in there as well. And then some turmeric. So that was all kind of done. And then, you know, you kind of cook it all and mix it all together gently, very gently stir it around. Mm. And then on top, and this is where it just takes it to that next fucking level. The recipe said you had to like pickle some green chilies.
Oh.
Just in some apple cider vinegar and some sugar and some salt. So I pickled those overnight, like thinly sliced. So they're almost like jalapenos.
Great.
And then you just put those on top of the salad with some fresh coriander. And I mixed some through the salad with the fresh coriander. And I put the rest on the top. And it was spectacular.
This barbecue you go to is one that when I was living down there, I used to go to as well. So I know, I know the patrons of this barbecue. And there are a lot of children. You would have had to have a sign on that salad saying not for the kids, right? That's, was it spicy, or was it quite tame?
No, it wasn't that spicy. And like, and you could make it as spicy as you wanted, like by adding more pickles. But also, there's no sign on it for the kids, because the kids are getting like, they're like, not many kids are going into like to dish into like a curried potato salad anyway.
No,
if
they're
they did,
not.
Like
no.
That's on them. Yeah. Like there's like sausages and other shit for the kids. But then because I had so much left over. It was a great time, by the way. Great time. I took out like a case of like non-alcoholic beer, and I took out some stuff to make some sangria, a whole lot of sangria. And I was like, I was doing pretty well. I was like drinking the non-alcoholic beers. I'd have a couple of regular beers or some sangrias, and I was like doing great. And then I got to a point where I'm like, man, I've been doing so well here. I'm going to have a couple of Negronis because somebody had made like a bucket of Negroni. And then
I'm going to reward myself for actually drinking responsibly, like we should be doing, by drinking one of the hardest cocktails that you can drink, just a straight up Negroni.
I was just knocking back Negroni, Negroni, sangria, sangria. And then occasionally I'd have like a non-alcoholic beer, but it was too late. The damage was done. But it was fun. It was so much fun.
Yeah.
But because I had all this leftover potato salad, I've been using it for, I've made like a curry with it. Like I just diced up some chicken thigh, added some more like laksa paste, put the potato salad, the chicken thigh, the laksa paste, some chicken stock and some coconut cream.
Oh, lovely. Great.
Made a curry. Like fantastic. Then I thinned that out with more chicken stock and some fish sauce, made a soup. I've been frying up the potato with some cabbage and just putting like a fried egg on top.
God,
you know what I mean?
Damn.
So like the leftovers are quite, you can do quite a bit with the leftovers.
Well, it sounds like you needed to do quite a bit with the leftovers.
Yeah, I've still got a giant bowl in the fridge. Like all I've been eating for like 2 days straight. This is no joke. Breakfast, lunch and dinner is brownies and potato salad. Like that's it. That's all I've been eating. And I am feeling it. And I can see it in the mirror. I can physically, I can see there's potato, that's potato, brownie, brownie, potato, 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 potato. And then the brownies that I took out were like next level. Just.
You went to
like,
town, didn't you? And you were cooking to impress.
Town.
Let's be honest. Like you're a good cook and you care about looking after people. However, I know this event and you wanted people coming up to you and go, Jesus Christ, that potato salad was pretty good.
I was walking up to people and telling them the exact thing. I was sitting next to them and I'd be like, have you tried that? I don't see any potato salad on your plate. You should go get some potato salad. And I'd make them get up and go get the potato salad.
You needed them to. You had a lot to get through.
I know. I'm trying to impress one person, and it's just who's like, event it is, that's it.
Yeah, of course.
So as long as she's like, I'm into the potato salad, I'm like, fucking great.
Yeah, I had mates who used to really lay it on. The mates that were just up here on the weekend. And I remember hemorrhaging money on really fancy products for a platter just to impress them. I was just like, I hope they love them. Yeah, I'll buy a $13 tin of Ortez anchovies. Okay. Yeah. That's It's good to impress your friends, though, you know? It's like, it's good. You know, what I love about it is I obviously love feeding my children and being a provider in that way. We've talked about this. Like, being able to go to a big event like that, that's all mates, this event, and being able to feed your friends and sit and talk together is what life's all about. It's an absolute joy.
It was excellent. And I probably turned it on a bit too much and I felt a bit sheepish the next day. But normally I will have like major anxiety about that stuff. But I was like, and I felt quite sick the next day as well. But I was just like, you know what? It's a safe space.
Yes.
It was just a safe space. And there was like these two... There was like these two sections because it was raining and stuff. And so there's these two sections that's in the shed and people sitting down. And I was like dancing away in the shed and I thought I was surrounded by heaps of people. I thought the dance floor was just fucking going off. And then I saw a video the next day and there's like three or four of us.
Always a lovely moment when you're dancing drunk at a party with friends and there's video footage of it the next day.
I didn't want to see it. Anyway, it was a good time.
Yeah, good.
Just a good time.
Hey, back on that whole looking at yourself in the mirror and seeing the potatoes and the brownies, I've been feeling that. I really, I did a lot of drinking on the weekend. It was celebratory drinking. So it was great. We were hanging out with friends and I was really enjoying myself and I'd prepped for that and I was really leaning into it. And then I had such an intense, I'm not even going to call it an anxiety attack. It was just my anxiousness was at a peak level the day after 3 days of drinking. Like I was like beside myself. And also I've been looking at myself in the mirror and trying to not feel any sort of body shame or whatever, but things are sagging and things are bulging and neither of those are my penis. And we've talked about this before that, you know, we should be exercising. And I have done nothing. I mean, I'm constantly moving around and I'm always doing something physical in the yard because I like building and all of that. And I'm racing around after kids. And so that keeps me sort of physically active. But I'm hitting that mark now where in a month I'm 44 and if I don't start doing something, it's going to be really difficult. And this morning in the hotel room, I'm waking up at, you know, 4:30 in the morning and I laid down a towel on on the hotel room floor because always put a towel down on a hotel room floor. Those places are fucking filthy. It's just disgusting. Yeah. Anyway, I lay down on it. And I just didn't even know what I was doing. And I was just nose down on the carpet. And just, I said out loud, I went, what am I doing? Like, what am I doing? I don't even know what's happening. And I keep putting off so many things. Like, there's so much stuff I've been putting off. To exercise, to eat healthier, to go and get a mental health plan, to send out emails that regard work, to put in invoices that regard work, to pay my tax. I just...
Yeah.
There's so many mounting things that I keep putting off. I don't even know what the end to this rant is. I just feel like...
Well, I'm with you. Like, the things that I know that are good for me... I will just put off and put off and put off and put off because they are harder. And there's that, like, what's that saying? Like, you can't outrun, like, a bad diet.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, it's all about, like, what you put into your body. Because I'm doing, like, a little bit of exercise at the moment. Like, I run occasionally. But that's kind of it. You know, like, that's what I'm doing. And I don't eat, like, too badly, but I could eat better. And I know for my mental health, drinking should be kept to a minimum.
Yes.
But at this time of year, like, it's a festive thing. And I've associated, like, I was trying to explain this on the weekend, actually, that I started drinking when I was, like, 14. So I've now had, like, 30 years of associating alcohol with social situations.
Yes.
And that is a hard thing to unlearn.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to be clear, too. I don't need to exercise so that my body is fit. As in, so that I look fit as an image thing. And it's not about body size. I need to exercise because I'm struggling to get out of bed. Like my body is so freaking stiff that I.
I bet it is. Oh, it's a very rigid body.
That's what I call
it's
him.
Rigid.
This is my body.
It's a very turgid body.
But, you know, like, it's not working right. And, you know, there is no avoiding aging. There's just no avoiding it. But no. I've got to start doing something, because just small jobs, I'm legitimately stop it. I'm hurting. Sorry. I'm like hurting myself. I'm actually just a little.
Yeah.
You know.
Yes. Yeah. I'll put on a shirt the wrong way and I'll fucking pull my neck muscle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Totally. Like, it's that kind of shit. And so I'm not exercising. So one, I am exercising so I can feel kind of like better about myself when I look in the mirror. But mainly I'm doing it so that 20 years from now, correct, I'm still mobile.
Yes.
So I can still move about.
Yeah.
Because I think if I carry on the way that I'm going, I'll just be a very sedentary as I get into like the next phase of the life, yeah, you know, past middle age into the next phase. And then I think it's a very quick downhill.
Well,
if you're active, yes, mentally and physically, then it's just going to make those years a lot more pleasant.
Absolutely. And I think, this just seems the right place to do exactly what I'm about to say, is I need to set boundaries for myself, and I need to publicly state a commitment to something so that I'll hold myself, yeah, to it. I don't have the set list of things that I need to do yet, and I don't want to do a heap. I don't want to do a heap. I kind of can't run because of, yeah, a missing bit of bone in my back. We've talked about that before. But I what I will do is, for our next episode, I will come up with a set of things that I want to do for an amount of time, and then we will track how that is going and whether it's making a difference at all.
Yeah, man. I could not agree more. There, where you say something out loud, like you're forced to do it. Like,
yeah,
everything in my life in the last year has been very unstructured.
Yes.
And I'm like responsible for everything that kind of goes on. And I've found that some things, that's fine. But a lot of other things, I'm like, oh no, I need boundaries. I need, yes, some guidelines. I need some fucking deadlines to fucking hit.
Do you know what I think too? Yeah. And it's a real cop out to, at this late stage of 2023, moving into 24, to in any way blame the COVID years. But those 2 main years of being locked down and waiting for answers on things, I think have had a really lasting, profound impact on my sort of get up and go nature of myself that I was prior to that. I just, in the space of 2 years, I was trained to just sit and wait for somebody to tell me I was allowed to do something. And I feel like I'm still in it. I genuinely feel like I'm still waiting for someone to tell me, oh, you're allowed to do that now. You can go and do that.
The knock-on effects from those years will be felt for generations. For generations.
Yeah.
Because of like the way that children like live through it, and teenagers live through it, yes, and like young parents live through it. And so everything that was kind of learned there, like some of these formative years of these kids who were like fucking 10 or 12 or whatever it would be, or 4 or 5, whatever it is,
yeah,
like what they went through then is going to affect the way that they think for stuff in the future.
Well, I've always really struggled with commitment, and that I'm not talking about within a relationship.
Nor
the commitment to my children, with committing to something, because it largely has been the nature of my job, which has been basically the entirety of my adult life. You just sort of never know where you're going to be, and so I don't want to make a commitment to somebody that I might be able to turn up for, say, be a part of a social football game, because,
yep,
I might get a gig that pays too well for me to say no to, and I've got to go and do it. These are all just justifications for, there's so many things that I want to do. There's so many, God damn it, there's so many books I want to read. Just start reading, yeah, the fucking book. Like,
yeah,
I want,
yeah,
to go for a walk. Just go for the walk and start building in those rituals. And I just can't get started on so many things.
Because I feel I'm with you completely. 100%, but I feel overwhelmed because I've got too many things that I want to start.
Yes.
And so I don't do any of them. Rather than just like, we'll just do that one.
Yeah.
Like, write a list and just do that one. Except I will write a list and then I just keep adding to the list. And then I'm like, oh, this is too overwhelming. Actually, speaking of lists, Claire loves a list. She loves it. And so today I walked by, she had like a list of shit she's going to do today on the kitchen table. And I read it upside down without my glasses, and I thought it said Wade Job, and I thought, this is... I was like, oh, what a great day this is going to be. And then so I turned the list around, and I pulled it up to me, and it just said Jude Pod, and she's doing like a podcast with Jude Pearl.
That is such a sad day for Wayne. And Lowe's. But I was like, okay, all of my ships have come into port. Here we go.
Like, what a roller coaster as well. I was like, fucking, oh, this is going to be a great day. The sun's shining. I've got like 3 meals of potato salad to get through.
This is... I'm going to have a chat with my mate and then I'm getting a gobby. All right. But then,
no, he's just doing a podcast with Jude Powell. It was very lovely. So, you know, I'm sure.
Imagine if you didn't turn it around and just because you saw the time and you got the time right and you just walk in unzipped. Here I am. Oh, no.
Speak into this mic.
Just tap it to see if it's on. Oh, that's really made me laugh. Like, I mean, you make me laugh every fucking episode, but just reading Jude Pod as Wade Job.
But also, like, Wade Job could be anything. It was really, I was manifesting. It really was just like, I was seeing what I wanted to see.
Mate, it could have said, pick up the kids from school. You'd be like, ooh, it's job time.
Oh, clean the bathroom. Oh, I know exactly what that means.
Hello. I've got a bathroom you can clean. Oh, I had a moment on commercial radio today that I thought I was working with you. One of my co-hosts is Candace Warner, and they've just recently announced that the Gold Coast are not going to have the Commonwealth Games. For those of you who don't know who Candace Warner is, she's an Iron Woman married to David Warner, cricketer, yeah. And so she sort of leads all of the sport news on this show. And she was talking about how the Commonwealth Games is now, it got dropped from Melbourne. Gold Coast were going to pick it up. They've dropped it. Where's the future? And she was talking from an elite sports person's point of view. She goes, the Commonwealth Games are a wonderful thing when all of the sports people can come together. And I just went, are you talking about the village? And I literally, it was like it was an out-of-body moment. I just thought, I'm here with Wado. But what about the sport?
Oh, how did that go down?
Well, it was live to air, so and the bosses didn't bring it up in their after-show meeting. So I'm on air tomorrow.
What were we talking about? Lists, that's right. Lists. So, but I will write like these lists, and then I will just write a new list without ticking stuff off the old list.
Yeah.
I'll be like, these are the creative things I'm going to work on. These are the things I've got to get done for the day. And then I'll be like, oh, you know what else could be good for the day? A list of things. And then I'll just write, like, that's the job. Like, just writing new lists.
Yeah.
So
now you've got a list of lists that you've got to get through. You've got to write a list off the list and which list to go to first. Yeah, mate, but that's where, like, I don't even write the list, but I've got those in my head. Like, and I don't know. My sister talks to me a lot about sort of neurodiversity kind of issues, and I'm not diagnosed, and I think it's very dangerous to start armchair diagnosing people of anything. Yeah. There are people whose jobs that is, but I don't think it takes a genius to figure out that I have ADHD of some level, and I did actually have a test done in the mid-90s, and I left halfway through. Now, that sounds like a joke. That's the truth. I was just bored with it. And so I think a lot of my struggles, and I'm not going to project that onto you, I just can't sit down and get started. And I get my head is moving so rapidly that to try and do one job, and obviously I get jobs done, mate. Like I've written shows, I've filmed TV shows, I work in commercial radio, I do this with you, we get it done, but everything is becoming harder and harder at the moment. It's all becoming just simple tasks are becoming a real chore, and it's sort of like, I think I've been, this is just revealing itself to me as I'm talking, I think I've been hiding myself in the monotony of raising children because I can understand it. I know what to do in the morning. I get up. I get there's a morning process. So again, this is about boundaries, right? I get it done. Hannah always has the lunches done the night before, so I know they're ready. Get it in there. I know what time I need to leave to get the kids to school. Da da da. Now in that period of time when they're at school to when they come home, I'm wandering around like a fucking idiot, trying to figure out what to do with my time when there's a million things. And then again, once I get them from school, I seem to calm down because now I know what to do. We're going to have an afternoon snack. Then we're going to go for a walk. And then we're going to start dinner prep. Then we have dinner. Then we have a bath. Then we have story time. And then it's into bed. And it's not too long after they go to bed that I just go, I'm going. I cannot be on my own with my thoughts anymore.
That is so similar to how my day goes. So fucking similar.
Yeah.
And I think it's because it's routine.
Yes.
Here is the routine. And then after school is the routine.
Yeah.
And then in between that, I'm like, well, fucking, I've got to make my own routine. And so I've got to create a routine. I've got to create discipline. Like, I need discipline in my life. And it's so fucking stupid to say, but I do. I need a routine and I need discipline and I need to fucking stick to it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, my other problem, and this is not pushing blame on anybody at all. This is literally me owning this. So I'll come home from dropping the two older kids off at school, and because I've got two little kids still at home, one a four-year-old and one an infant, I want to be around to be of help. But actually, I'm not being that helpful because I'm not present at all. Because I'm frustrated that I'm not doing the things that I should be doing, and then I'm just trying to be there and available. I think I just need to allocate, you know, even if it's only 2 days a week. I just don't come home after I drop the kids off. I just go and find a space to be, to get these things done that I've got to do.
Man, last night, just like changing tack a little bit, the girls were like, we want to watch TV. And like, you can't watch any, like, you've watched heaps today. Like, even though we have like this kind of like system that we've got, I'm just like, you just can't sit there and watch TV. And they're like, well, just come and, I said, just go outside and play. They said, will you come play with us? And I was like, oh. And I thought about saying no, but I wasn't doing anything.
Yeah.
I was just like, I've got to clean the kitchen. It's the exact thing we were talking about the other day. It's like, I've got to clean the kitchen. I'm like, that can wait.
That can wait.
What do you want to play? And so we just went and played this silly game, families, where they kind of like, I was like this naughty kid and they were trying to keep putting me to bed and I just kept escaping the bed. Like that was the game.
Yeah.
It was stupid, but it was fun.
Yeah.
And they loved it.
Of course they did.
Loved it. Then they decided it was my birthday and they started wrapping up so many presents and just like bringing me like gift after gift after gift after gift. And then that was great. But then of course it came time to clean up. They're like, we don't want to clean up. I'm like, no, 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 no. Now we've got to clean up.
But
it was great.
Yeah.
And they were so happy.
Yes.
That I was just hanging out with them.
And so were you. So were you.
I was stoked.
That helped you.
I was like, yeah, this was the best bit. This was the best, that was the best bit of my day.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I think I lose a lot of time with my kids because of anxiety and alcohol. I lose a lot of time, you know, because I'm either hungover or I just want to go and have a few cans, or my anxiety levels are up, and I'm just losing time with them, inventing things that I have to do. I don't have to do those.
Or putting stuff off.
Putting stuff off, mate. Fucking hell.
Yeah. But also, like, I want them to see that shit has to get done. And so I will leave, like, cleaning the bathroom or cleaning the kitchen or fucking cleaning their room until they get home. And I'll be like, because that can happen when they're there. And then they should be a part of it.
Yeah.
And I can work when they're not. But the problem is, I'm not working as hard as I could when they're there, when they're not there.
Yeah.
And then I'm getting frustrated rather than saying, well, you just come and help me. We'll just hang out while we do it. And then we can play and do whatever. And I'm getting frustrated at the end because they're like, well, all we want to do is hang out. We haven't seen you all day. And I'm like, fucking. And then I'm annoyed at myself because I know I haven't been as productive during the day.
Here's a little tip. Absolutely, I know exactly what you're talking about, and it's all we're the architects of our own misery. I saw this little thing, and I think this is a practical idea. It was sent to me while I've been here in Sydney, so we haven't had a chance to implement this as a family. But I was immediately onto it. Hannah sent it to me, and it was just a mum talking through her anxieties around the house and that things need to be reset at the end of the day for the next morning. That is very much Hannah. it's not so much me. I can definitely go to bed with dirty dishes, and I'm very happy to do those first thing in the morning. So, yeah. But acknowledging that it is Hannah and her communicating that to me, this mother had a similar issue. And so what they would do as a family is an alarm would go off at 7 o'clock, and everyone knew it was just time to reset the house. And each child of different ages were doing things, and it was really simple stuff. It wasn't like it was all crazy cleaning to make it some show house. Yeah. It was have the dishwasher loaded, make sure the table was cleaned and wiped down, made sure that the kitchen was ready for the morning, and I think there was a bathroom being cleaned by somebody as well in this little montage. I think that's such a simple thing to do. For me, that I can really do to help Hannah, because she's communicated that she's anxious when it's not done. And then the kids all go, oh, it's reset time. So we're all resetting now. It's going to take us 10, 15 minutes if we all knuckle down, and then it's done.
And that's the thing. It doesn't take long to reset the house. And I'm not talking about like a deep clean. I'm talking about like a reset.
It's just
it
a reset.
Doesn't take long,
yeah.
Especially if you do it every day.
Yeah.
You let it build up for a couple of days. You're like, fuck.
Yes.
It's like my life.
Yes,
you
totally.
You build up and build up and build up and build up. So it goes exactly to what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Those problems build up and it's a massive issue. But if you deal with them every day, day.
Totally.
Like if Claire just puts Wade Job on that list every single day.
With that, I'm getting kicked out of this room. I love you, mate. We'll speak again soon.
All right, love you, buddy. Bye.
Dads.